Let's pray together. Oh God, open our eyes to empathy, curiosity, and humility, that we might be generous and compassionate toward others and ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. We gather today in these familiar surroundings to engage in the comforts of candle lighting, the singing of carols, and to hear a story that we all know very well. The story of the birth of Jesus is one that we have known since we were children, and even non-religious people could name its essentials. There are young parents named Joseph and Mary, there's angels and there's shepherds, and a baby born in a manger. So today there is both a challenge and an invitation for us to discover something new about this story, both in what happened 2,000 years ago, and more importantly, in what it might mean for us today. Which leads us to an interesting aspect of the story that I had not seen before, and it has something to do with the setting in which Jesus was born. You know, most of the time in our nativity scenes, we see the Holy Family in a stable, in what appears to be an open-air shed or a backyard barn. Some have also envisioned the stable to be more like a cave dug out of the side of a hill. In many children's Christmas pageants, we see Mary and Joseph walking up to an innkeeper, a manager, if you will, of an ancient Near Eastern Motel 6. He declares that he has no room in his inn, but he does have a stable in the back somewhere. That's what we commonly imagine happened in the story. In the Old King James Version, Luke chapter 2 says that Jesus was born in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. But here's what's interesting. That word for inn is actually better translated as guest room. That's what the Common English Bible and the updated New Revised Standard Version say. Now, there were, in fact, typical inns and innkeepers in Jesus' day. We see one later in Luke chapter 10, when the Samaritan brings the wounded man to an inn. That word there literally means inn, but not here. The word here in Luke 2, the word in the birth story, means guest room. It was literally an extra room attached to someone's private residence. Thanks to famous biblical archaeologist Kenneth Bailey, we have an idea of the layout of a typical peasant's home in first century Palestine. Here it is. You'll see on the left that ancient Jewish homes were simple one-room buildings, and on one end was a small enclosed space that served as a guest room, a place for guests. Apparently, when Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, there were no guest rooms available in anyone's private residences. But then Luke says that when Jesus was born, he was placed in a manger. So here's the surprising part. Where were mangers in first century peasant homes? Not out back in a barn, not nearby in a cave. The mangers and even the animals themselves were kept in the main part of the house, in the lower level of the living room. Look at the diagram on the right, the side view. The main part of the home was actually split level. The front door opened into a lower level where at night the animals stayed so that their body heat could help keep the room warm. And that part, that lower level, was called the stable. And just a few steps up into the larger part of the room was where the family stayed. The living room was just a few steps up from the stable, all living in a private residence together. And in order to keep the animals fed, rather than the humans going up and down the stairs to feed the animals throughout the night, they dug some simple troughs into the floor of the upper level, right up against the ledge of the lower level, so that the animals could just raise their necks and eat right out of the manger. Now, if you're picturing all of this in your head, you'll begin to see how this is so different from the kinds of nativity scenes and Christmas pageants that we're used to seeing. But here's the main point for us to think about. Some private homeowner somewhere in first century Israel Palestine saw a very tired Joseph and a very pregnant Mary, and because there was no room in his own guest room, he made an incredible decision to give up his own living room so that Jesus could have a warm, safe place to be born. Jesus wasn't born in a back alley barn. He was invited into someone's home, into their hearts, into their lives. He was born anew into the world because someone made room for him in their lives. I'm sure you can see the connection for you and me today. By the way, there is one other time when the word guest room is used in Luke's gospel. You want to know where it is? The first is here in Luke 2. The other is in Luke 22. The first is here when Jesus was born. The other is on the night before he died. As he and his disciples were entering Jerusalem, he asked them to go ahead of them and try to secure a guest room for them to have a final meal together. That guest room was apparently built not off to the side of the main living room, but on top of it. So in Luke 22, the very same word for guest room is translated as upper room. It was in that upper room that Jesus took some bread and some wine, and he spoke to his friends. And he told them that the bread was his body and that the wine was his blood, shed for them and for many, for the forgiveness of their sins. See, the span of Jesus Christ's life is bookended by two guest rooms. Jesus was born into a time when there was no room for him in a guest room, so someone welcomed him into their home. And on the night before he died, Jesus sat in a guest room and around a table declared enough room to welcome the entire world into a relationship with God. And in a way, that is the summary of your spiritual journey, of one who over the course of your lifetime could be more and more a follower of Jesus. The start of your spiritual journey is about making more and more room for Jesus in your heart and in your mind and in your behavior. It is about confession of sins and daily commitment. It's about developing holy habits and maintaining spiritual practices like prayer and scripture reading and meditation so that over time you welcome Jesus into the main living area of your heart. But eventually, Jesus wants to create an upper room in your heart as well. It's not just about what Jesus wants to do in you, but about what God wants to do through you, to reach out in love and to welcome all people, through your acts of compassion and mercy and kindness and love. Because of Jesus, your life can be like a candle raised into the darkness, a defiant source of hope and justice in the lives of others who are hurting and heartbroken. It's about service and missions and caring about other people and telling other people about God's love. From guest room to upper room, Jesus wants to work in your life and then through your life. So what does this mean for us today on this Christmas? It means both a spiritual journey inward and a spiritual journey outward. It means making room for Jesus in your heart and then reaching out in love to others through you. And by the way, that's exactly how Luke ends his story of Jesus Christ's birth, with a journey inward and a journey outward. In verses 17 to 20, we see two responses by two different people, both of them important for each of us. For Mary, her response to Jesus was a journey inward. It says she treasured all these things, literally committed them to memory, and pondered them in her heart. And for the shepherds, it was a journey outward. They made known to others what they had seen, and all were amazed. Luke would want us to know that both of these responses, the inward journey of self-reflection and discipline, along with the outward journey of service and witness and compassion, are the two pillars of the spiritual life. So over the days and weeks that lie ahead, I invite you to find ways to grow inwardly and outwardly in your commitment to Jesus. And on our Next Steps page, we have many, many ways for you to take next steps in both areas, including a powerful worship series in January called You Are Not Alone, Spiritual Insights for Building Community. Because Jesus wants to work in you and then through you, from the guest room to the upper room of your heart, so that others may see the good news of great joy that is for all people. Let's pray together. God, once again, you have come near to us in Jesus, and we invite you into our hearts and into our lives. Be born within us today, and then call us to the journey outward to make a difference in the lives of others, that you might be born anew into the world. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.